With a 50% obesity rate in the U.S. and more unhealthy people than ever before, it is time to make America healthy. Welcome to Make America Healthy with Beth Shaw. If you're feeling tired, toxic, heavy, slow, or stressed, then keep listening. Beth and her expert guests are here to offer practical advice and share the tools you need to reclaim your physical, mental, and emotional health. Now, here is your host, Beth Shaw.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Make America Healthy. I'm Beth Shaw, your host, and I am so excited today to have on two very special guests. I've been looking forward to this show. We've got Jane Velez Mitchell, who is the founder of Unchained TV, a free streaming television network available as a download on the iPhone and Android and everywhere else, Amazon, Apple TV. She is the former host of many CNN shows and former TV anchor. And with her Unchained TV news, she offers hundreds of free documentaries, cooking shows, news updates, talk shows, and so much more, focusing on a compassionate planet, climate change, improving human health, reducing world hunger and animal suffering. That is my dog you hear whining in the background. He's a rescue dog, by the way. Jane has won 4 Genesis Awards from the HSUS, and she reports on a lot of animal issues. And Dr. Edward Group, founder and CEO of Global Healing and the Global Healing Institute, a world-renowned naturopathic practitioner, cancer researcher, and compassionate visionary. His goal is to change the world. Global Healing, one of my favorite brands, is recognized as one of the largest organic health resources in the world. Dr. Group is a truth seeker, a veteran of the U.S. Army, and alumni of both Harvard, which I'll soon be alumni too, and MIT Business Schools. He's a best-selling author with over 25 million views on YouTube and a frequent guest everywhere. So welcome, everyone. Today we are talking about all things clean eating, sustainable living, animal rights, and anything as it relates to health and wellness via what you put in your mouth. So I would like to open it up with Jane. Jane, I've known you for a long time. We know each other through the animal rights movement in Los Angeles and through the HSUS. I know you're a very outspoken vegan. And my question to you today is, what does total health mean to you and how do you achieve it?
Well, I think it's body, mind, and spirit because they are intertwined. So I can tell you that also being 27 years sober, my worst day sober is better than my best day drunk. And I'll say the same thing about eating animals. My worst day as a vegan is better than my best day eating animals because the psychic toll that that takes of participating in violence. You know, I was a crime reporter for many years. And when you cover a crime and you see the defendant at the defendant's table, that doesn't necessarily have to be the person who pulled the trigger. If they are involved in the conspiracy to commit the crime, they can be convicted of murder. So just because you didn't kill the animal yourself doesn't mean that you are not participating in tremendous violence. And that disconnect has a tremendous psychic toll because somewhere in the reptilian brain, people are aware that they are eating animals who died. And just the other day, I was reading this fascinating news article about a woman who threw a fit and practically fainted because she was in a fast food restaurant and was eating a slice of ham that had a nipple on it. And she freaked out and went, "Oh my God, well, what did you think you were eating, lady?" You know, so when I see people in this society suffering depression, living a life of sadness or constant accumulation to tell themselves that they count, that they have a place in this world, you know, my heart goes out to them because there is another way. And when you go vegan, just like I could say in a way, not religiously, but I was reborn when I got sober. And the old saying, the only thing that has to change is everything. I put on a new set of glasses and I saw the world in a different way. Well, the same thing happened when I went vegan. And it's no accident that I went vegan after I got sober, because I was starting to think clearly and starting to see that my actions were out of alignment with my values. And so when I put on that pair of glasses that was vegan, wow, all of a sudden I'm seeing that they're putting glue traps down in the newsroom, and I started picking them up. That's no way to control a problem. And then I got into an argument. Then they tell me to read a kicker story about rodeos. And I say, no, that's not fun. That's torture. Those animals have their gonads tied up in knots. That's why they're kicking and jumping. Well, stick to the copy, lady. So yeah, sure. Life gets more challenging when you start challenging accepted wisdom. But I would say that none of that can be completely disconnected from health. Everything is interconnected, just like oppression. When one of us is oppressed, all of us are oppressed. And when we don't care about the consequences of our actions, that impacts our health and our emotional well-being and our spiritual well-being as well.
Great. Jane, thank you very much. Dr. Ed, welcome. It's nice to see you again. Tell me what your idea of perfect health and holistic living is.
Well, I'd have to definitely agree with Jane. It's a balance of, you know, reducing the toxic things that you're exposed to in your external environment. That could be what you're watching on TV. It could be toxic friends. It could be toxic coworkers. It could be anything that could create any form of mental, spiritual, or physical toxicity that you're exposed to in your external environment. And then, of course, your internal environment, too. I mean, part of our research 25 years ago on the root cause of all disease and all mental conditions were boiled down to two things. You know, people that had a toxic external environment and a toxic internal environment. And the toxic internal environment was mostly because of the food that they were eating and what they were drinking. Of course, a little bit of those chemicals and toxins were coming in from the skin. So what we've taught is the power of detoxification, the power of clean eating, and eliminating the source of the toxins in your external environment and in your internal environment. So it's a balance. It's a balance. It really is truly a balance between the physical and the mental and the spiritual, because I believe that, you know, all health and all spirituality and everything comes from within. And, you know, we are not really being taught the truth about a lot of things that are out there because of, you know, you can say big pharma, big agriculture, big oil and gas, big corporations that are basically poisoning the food, poisoning the water, poisoning the air, poisoning our minds. So to me, perfect health is really educational too. It's understanding the things that are causing us to degenerate at a rapid rate, and then eliminating or changing those things so we can create health and we can create happiness and we can create balance in our lives.
So Jane, you've had TV shows. I know you had a very stressful life when you were in New York covering the news. And I understand that that can lead to a lot of depression. I don't quite frankly know how news anchors do it all the time. Tell us about coping mechanisms you used and coping mechanisms you use now to kind of deal with the barrage of the external world that we're dealing with, which has changed a lot since we were all hanging out as animal advocates in Los Angeles 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's a scary world out there, and it's easy to get overwhelmed. And one of the things that I find fascinating is that more and more we have almost like a godlike perspective on everything horrible happening in the world. And back in the old days, whatever you would consider the old days, before maybe TV and even film, but let's say in medieval times, whatever was happening in your town, that was what was happening. You didn't have a sense of what was happening on the other side of the world. And so we have this sort of responsibility on our shoulders, it feels like, a lot of times watching the news. I mean, just today, watching about Roe versus Wade going away, the Ukraine war, inflation, you know, it's very stressful. But my philosophy about that is I do what I can throughout the course of the day to try to alleviate suffering. And then I give myself permission to be happy. To quote Ingrid Newkirk of PETA, being sad doesn't help the animals. So I try to do as much work as I can while still taking care of myself, because you can't give away what you don't have. You can't help anybody. And so I do some self-care. Today I went to the dentist, but I also work pretty vigorously on our nonprofit, Unchained TV, to try to spread the word about a better way of living that's better for us, it's better for the animals, and it's better for the planet, and it could avoid future pandemics. There are so many reasons to go plant-based. You know, we have to counteract a never-ending barrage of brainwashing from television and from other media sources that tell us we should be eating animals and then we should be taking all these pills that are the result of you eating animals. So if you look at the TV commercials, it's meat, dairy, pharmaceuticals, with an occasional car insurance commercial thrown in. And so you can't make money on a disease that never occurred. So when people fiercely defend their right to eat animals, it's maddening, because you're defending your right to destroy your own health, destroy the planet, and live in misery. And when you offer somebody another way, there's tremendous resistance because there's brainwashing. Those commercials constantly sexualizing meat. Okay, I come from an advertising industry background, and I know a lot of people in the ad industry. First of all, nobody who has ever gotten a commercial contract has ever asked, is this product good or not? I've listened. It's never happened. So they will use every trick in the book. Often filmmakers who have contempt for the material, who want to be Hollywood filmmakers, and they're making a buck doing these commercials, and they're sexualizing meat, and they're associating meat with masculinity and dairy with femininity and family values and patriotism and keeping up with the Joneses and popularity and blah, 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 blah. I mean, this is sophisticated stuff that's hitting people. So yeah, when you say, well, no, it's my right to do this. Well, yes, it's your right to self-sabotage, just like it's your right, I guess, to self-sabotage with alcohol or drugs. Doesn't mean that it's good for you.
You know, I just got back from teaching a group of corporate executives in the Florida Keys and trying to help educate them on proper health and wellness. And we touched a little bit about the factory farming issue in this country and, you know, the horrors that are going on there. I was wondering, Dr. Group, if you would like to elaborate a little bit more on the way our food is made these days, whether it's farm animals or something, you know, like a soda that's got fluoride in it. I think it would be helpful to educate our listeners a little bit more about the source of their food, where it's coming from, and how they can make better choices.
Well, first of all, we were never meant to eat meat. We don't have canine teeth to rip and chew flesh. We don't have hydrochloric acid secreted in our mouth. We don't have a pipe-like digestive system. We don't hunt and have claws to tear and rip and chew flesh. Meat is not something that we were ever meant to eat. We don't have the proper enzymes to break down meat. When you look at what the animals are being fed, it's disgusting. It's rendered food. They literally take dead animals and scrape them off the road. They have flesh in there. They have pus in there. Animals are being injected with all kinds of antibiotics. They're being injected with all kinds of prescription medications, vaccines. They're even being fed their own animals' blood sometimes as well. So the whole system, the whole agricultural system, is completely screwed up. I mean, what happens when someone eats, when animals get butchered, for example, is they go through an extreme state of stress. They can even sense when they're going to the butchering camps and the slaughterhouses. And so all of those cortisol and all of those chemicals and all of that anger and all of those emotions and all of those energies get transferred into the meat, and then you end up eating it. So it creates a very, very low vibration. It creates a very low energy. It actually, everything is based on energy and vibration. That's all we are, is just energy and vibration. And so if you eat live foods, live good foods that were grown for you, that have that your body secretes the enzymes to break down, which are plant-based foods, that increases your life force. It increases your vibrational frequency. When you eat dead or butchered animals, you not only get karmic residue from that, but you also, it tears your body down. It reduces your life force. It reduces your vibration. And it creates degenerative illnesses and disease. Meat can sit in your system for 72 hours. It can sit into your system for a week at a time. Sometimes it's very hard to break down, and it's contaminated with multiple pesticides and insecticides and chemicals and everything else. So, you know, I learned about being vegan probably 20 years ago and stopped eating meat. I did it also because I was studying different meditation practices from all over the world. And most of the gurus and the masters and the Tibetan masters and everywhere, well, the first thing they tell you is, you know, you have to get off of meat. You have to become a vegan. You have to become a vegetarian. Most of them say vegetarian. But I mean, you know, one of the big things that they teach you in meditation is the karmic load that you take on, because it's a living, loving animal that has a soul. And whenever you eat that soul, whenever you kill animals, you're also going to take on some of that karmic residue. So people are just not educated. I agree with Jane, is that, you know, when you're seeing these commercials over and over again, and then you not only do people eat meat, but then they eat the gluten on top of it, and then the cheese on top of that, and then the 32 ounce cola on top of that with the aspartame or the artificial sweeteners in there. So basically what we're doing is we're just bombarding our body with chemicals and toxins that are sitting in our system for a long period of time. And what happens is the meat ends up turning putrefactic inside your body. The fats end up turning rancid. The carbohydrates end up fermenting inside your system. And then that's going to burn holes into your digestive tract, leading to leaky gut. And then all of those chemicals and toxins are going to start being secreted into your bloodstream, causing more toxicity. Meat is also a very acidic compound. Your body just negatively reacts in any multiple ways to meat. It creates a very acid environment inside your system. And so when you have an acid environment inside your system, your terrain, your biological terrain gets thrown off. We should have a slightly alkaline. So that's another reason why it leads to, I would say meat is probably one of the number one toxins that we evaluated that leads to degenerative illness and cancer and everything else that people are suffering from. It's extremely hard for it to be broken down and even starts causing congestion of the liver. And then something most people don't talk about a lot, and something that we've been looking at from a scientific standpoint, is the amount of parasites that are contained in meat. Especially, you know, people out there eating a lot of sushi, people eating pork, even, you know, semi raw meats out there are contributing to a massive level of parasites in the body. And a parasite can be anything from a virus to a bacteria to a worm to a mycoplasm to a fungus. You know, you see the bovine spongiform encephalopathies, the mad cow disease out there. So it's just leading us down a deep, dark road that's people are consuming something that is not meant for human consumption at all.
Yeah, I mean, with the advent of our food industry going the way that it does, I don't think we should be really consuming much out of a package, you know, but unfortunately, most people don't have the opportunity to even grow their own vegetables, let alone anything else. We're going to take a break right now to thank our sponsors for Make America Healthy, and thanks to globalhealing.com. If you are still working on your New Year's resolutions or just trying to get healthier and focus on your health and immune protection, remember that all health begins in the gut. Consider that 95% of your body's serotonin, the happiness hormone, lies in the gut. In fact, 90% of all chemicals and toxins enter through your intestinal tract, which is why food is so important. One expert I rely on for advanced gut detox health is Dr. Edward Group, who's on the show today, founder of Global Healing. He has 22 years of creating organic supplements to meaningfully and quickly change your health. I use all of their formulations, including their Oxy powder formulation, an oxygen-based colon cleanser. You'll feel a ton of energy the next day, along with being more clear-headed. Check out their line of vegan, gluten-free, and GMO-free supplements. I recommend and trust this brand because I've been to their factory and their family-owned organic and backed by science. You can save 15% at checkout by using the code YOGAFIT15 this month. Again, save 15% at checkout, globalhealing.com. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, YogaFIT Training Systems Worldwide, specializing in corporate wellness, live education, virtual trainings, and so much more, anything yoga or mind-body. YogaFIT is one-stop shopping for anything mind-body health. Save 15% at checkout by using the code VOICE22 at yogafit.com. Thank you to our sponsors. So we're back talking about factory farming and challenges, parasites, and so much more. Dr. Group, if you're going to advise people on how to start cleaning up their diet, maybe they're not ready to go 100% vegan right now. Where would you say, how do you suggest that they do this in simple, easy steps that they can take?
So, so I read a book a long time ago, Eat Right for Your Blood Type, which they do recommend that O positive eat meat. And of course, me being a rebel, I said, that's not true. And so I immediately cold turkey and went raw vegan. I was raw vegan for about 9 months, 9 or 10 months. And I was a meat eater. I mean, I grew up in Louisiana, and you know, Louisiana is a hunting and fishing, you know, mecca over there. And for some, even though I used to go hunting and fishing, for some reason, I never was able to shoot anything because I never saw anything to shoot, which now looking back, I'm an animal lover, but I wasn't raised that way. It took a lot of education on my part to become that, because we were taught as kids growing up in the backwoods of Louisiana that, you know, that's what we ate. We fished and we hunted for our food. And so probably the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life was to become a raw vegan. But after that, I started eating some cooked foods as well. So I would say that I didn't feel that good because I had eaten a lot of meat and then I cold turkeyed. So I would say that everybody is different. Everybody has a different biochemistry. I would say the first step is always education, to learn about the damaging effects of the environment, to learn about the damaging effects of what these animals go through, how the processed meat companies work. When you start watching some of these documentaries and you start educating yourself, your mind can shift very rapidly when you see the torture of these animals and you see how they're being treated. That visual aspect is so powerful for people to, and there's plenty of documentary films out there, and there's plenty of, you know, YouTube videos that, you know, people have gone into these animal warehouses, these torture warehouses, and filmed what's really taking place. It's like extremely sad to watch these things, and it will completely change. I mean, pretty much if you're not changed by watching one of these, you definitely have something wrong with you. But starting slow and becoming educated is one of the things that I've always found. Education is the number one way to transition into anything. And part of that is because I've asked so many people over the years, tell me why you have cancer. Can you explain to me why you have heart disease? Or can you explain to me why you have diabetes? And no one has ever been able to explain to me why they have the conditions and the diseases that they have. And so I always say, well, don't you think you need to understand why you have cancer to understand how to eliminate cancer from your body? And so I've learned just from listening to so many people that education is such a big part. And once you understand that, it's a lot easier to make that transition. And then, of course, you have to educate yourself on the proper way to become a vegan. I mean, I get calls every day. So, you know, our company has been completely plant-based, completely vegan for 25 years. We're one of the only companies in the world that has the quality standards in place to where no animal products can ever come into our facility or anything like that. And it's difficult for people because of the way that they've been manipulated in the way that they've been lied to over the years. But we also always recommend that they go through a deep cleansing as they're making that transition. They're making that transition more into a plant-based diet. We always want to detoxify them. We start them off with a deep intestinal cleanse. We start them off with a liver and gallbladder cleanse. Then we take them through a parasite cleanse. Then we take them through a chemical and heavy metal cleanse, because if you've eaten meat for a long time, then your body is extremely toxic. You have all kinds of prescription drug residues being stored in your fat tissue. You have all kinds of chemicals, insecticides, pesticides, just a lot of toxic buildup. I mean, meat is also a mucus producing, a pus producing. It's an inflammatory agent inside your body. It is extremely hard for your body to get used to that. So it really helps to detoxify somebody and walk them through that process of converting and studying more and learning about the benefits of transitioning into a plant-based diet. But that's something that we do with everybody. We always want them to transition. However long it takes, we want them to transition out of meat and get them onto a plant-based diet. A lot of people, I get calls every single day from people going, you know what, I stopped eating meat and now I'm on a vegan diet. Or I've been on a vegan diet for a month or 3 months and all of a sudden I have all these health problems. So it's not as easy as somebody just getting off of meat and eating bread and rice all day, gluten and rice all day. There's, you know, that's not a very healthy diet. And I think there's a lot of mistakes that are being made with people transitioning into a vegan diet because they don't know how to balance out those nutrients with fruit, with live foods, with fruit and vegetables and raw nuts and seeds. So basically they just think that, you know, they can, you know, just transition into eating a lot of bread and a lot of cooked and processed foods that might not necessarily be really, really healthy and high vibrationally for them. So education is always number one in helping them transition through that process.
I love that Global Healing has come out with a line of protein powders now. As someone who likes to spend a lot of time in the gym, I'm always trying to make sure I get enough protein. And I just love your new formulations. They're really clean. So thanks for that.
Thank you. Yeah, there are organic, vegan. They're not radiated like most other products out there on the market that all go through some sort of an X-ray or electromagnetic pulse on the end of their finished goods line. So we try to just source the highest quality, best ingredients that we can. Actually, it took me 7 years to develop the vegan protein powder that was raw, that was living, that was active. It was a big project, but we were able to finally do it.
Great. Jane, tell us a little bit about some of your work in animal advocacy and the message that you're getting out there, as well as, you know, where our listeners can go to get vegan food, because it's not as easy as one would think. I know in big cities like Los Angeles and to a lesser degree in New York, there's lots of vegan restaurants, but do you see this as a trend that's growing? Exponentially.
I've been vegan 26 years. I used to go into a restaurant here in LA, a vegan restaurant. I was the only person. I knew everybody. I knew the chef. I knew the maitre d'. Now I can't get a table. And I love it. There's nothing that makes me happier when I call a vegan restaurant for a reservation. I'm sorry. We don't have a table now for 2 or 3 weeks. Oh, great. Makes me so happy. Yes, we're growing exponentially. But we still have a lot of work to do because the clock's ticking. We're headed toward an environmental apocalypse if we don't transition everybody to a plant-based diet. In fact, I did a documentary that's won many awards about that called Countdown to Year Zero. And I suggest go on Unchained TV. The doctor mentioned all these documentaries. We've got some of the classic documentaries, Earthlings, Dominion, Vegetated, A Prayer for Compassion, our documentary, Countdown to Year Zero. And they make a very powerful case for why it's absolutely crucial that we all transition to a plant-based diet and that it's not a sacrifice. See, when I thought, oh my gosh, I've got a drinking problem. I've got to give up booze. And I was terrified. I thought, well, I'll never go to a party again. I'll never enjoy the sunset again. I'll never go skiing again. I'll never do, Well, that was all my self-generated fear. Okay, I go to parties. I still make a fool of myself, but now I remember it. but my favorite thing is when somebody says, are you okay to drive? I'm like, yeah, 27 years sober. But the point is that people have these same kind of projections about giving up meat. Oh, I'll never go to a restaurant again. I'll never go be able to enjoy a meal with my family again. Blah, blah, blah. It's all self-generated. Actually, it's a wonderful adventure. We only kill in Western society about six animals, cows, pigs, chickens, turkeys, goats, and lambs. There are tens of thousands of fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, and legumes that one can array in an infinite combination. We've for 6 years done a daily cooking show on Facebook, and we've barely repeated a recipe, and not by plan. We just say, make whatever you want. And so go on Unchained TV. It's absolutely free. It's a global streaming network. You can download, just put Unchained TV in your phone, or you can put it on your TV via, if you have a Samsung or LG Smart TV, if you have a Roku device, an Apple TV device, or an Amazon Fire Stick. And there's millions of people who have these. And the number one search term is free. Our app is 100% free. You don't even have to put in your email. And so we have cooking shows, our award-winning cooking show, New Day, New Chef, where we make everything and we veganize things. In fact, the funny thing was that we made vegan eggs, and the woman we had on the show was vegan from birth, and she didn't want to eat it because it tastes so much like eggs, actual eggs, that it kind of grossed her out. But there's ways to make things taste like eggs, to taste like tuna salad, to taste like anything under the sun. They have barbecue vegan restaurants now. Another thing I would get is the Happy Cow app. It's easy to download. It has a free version. I've used it all over the world. I've used it in Texas. I've used it in Prague. I've used it in London. I've used it in New York and LA. Every vegan restaurant or restaurant with vegan options will pop up, show the proximity to where you're standing, and even give you a map to get there. And it's fun. I can tell you that I have found vegan. I'll tell you, when I went to Vienna, for example, and I was looking for a vegan restaurant and I was following their map, and I ended up away from the tourists who were in the tourist traps eating the usual garbage, like, you know, hamburgers and French fries. And I ended up in this beautiful cul-de-sac where there was a communal kitchen where they only served one thing. It was all vegan. We all sat outside and talked, and I felt like, ah, I'm experiencing Vienna in a really authentic way, which I never would have if I wasn't vegan, using the Happy Cow app to find a unique experience. That's part of it. It's the road less traveled. And as somebody famous said, that makes all the difference. So don't regard this as a sacrifice. This is an adventure, and you get to really re-experiencing things like cooking, going to restaurants, going to parties. It's fun.
Great. Well, you know, we're up against a big army. I mean, during the pandemic, McDonald's was deemed as an essential business, whereas the gyms were shut down, which I have a big problem with that. And like you said, we're turning on the TV and we're seeing nothing but fast food commercials and then pill commercials with all their side effects. So while the education process and people are catching on, like, this is a big war. Because, you know, and many people who don't have access to fast or fresh, easy food end up at fast food establishments eating probably what is the most processed of all processed foods available. Dr. Ed, you know, where do you see this going?
Well, I always like to live in hope. And I think that I love the Happy Cow app, actually, too. We travel through it all over the world. We always pull that up. It's really, you're right. I mean, it's a whole nother environment. You just get to hang out with people, like-minded people. And, you know, when we went vegan years ago, we actually did lose a lot of our friends. I mean, you know, the meat eaters and all that, they just wouldn't invite us to parties anymore because we don't drink alcohol either. And so we've been, you know, no alcohol, you know, obviously no eggs, no meat, no dairy. Every now and then my kids will have some raw cheese. I don't want to force it on them. They've never had meat in their whole life since they were born when we delivered them ourselves, but they're teenagers now. So they're getting influenced a little bit. from the outside, you know.
And is that hard for you?
It's been really hard, actually. It's, you know, you try to teach them as much as you can, but for some reason they think you don't know what you're talking about when they get to be teenagers. And it's just, you just try to do the best that you possibly can.
I mean, what happens when if you found a bag of, you know, McDonald's French fries in the back of one of your kids' cars?
Well, that hasn't happened yet, thank God, but my older teenager, the last couple months has been, you know, he's been really, well, he's been a vegan chef for a long time. He's 15. He started cooking when he was, you know, preparing vegan meals when he was probably around 8. And he just has a real passion for cooking, but he's been watching all these videos nonstop about how to, you know, cook shrimp, garlic shrimp, and all this other stuff. And he wants to be a chef, but I keep telling him, I said, there's a huge, huge demand for good vegan chefs out there. But the influence that he's getting from watching all of these shows where they're cooking meat is starting to, you know, we've addressed it multiple times and talked about it. And so now kind of what he's telling us is, you know, I can't wait to leave the house so I can go eat meat and cook meat. And it's kind of like a backlash. And we're trying to figure out, you know, what did we do wrong? Did we, you know, did we restrict him to the point where that's gonna backfire? And he's watched all the documentaries and everything. So this is something that we've just been dealing with over the last month, really. You know, he's really wanting to expand his cooking and stuff like that. And he said, well, you know, if I'm going to be a chef, I'm going to have to cook some meat too. And, you know, we're like, well, you know, your opportunity, the blue ocean strategy out there is what we really need is we need vegan chefs. We need people that can, you know, cook plant-based, you know? So we're, you know, it's like, hey, you want to be a chef? We'll work with you and open up your own vegan restaurant or whatever. So that's a challenging part of our life right now that we're going through. But I notice it too. People are realizing, I think to a certain degree, a certain amount of people are making the connection now to their health and how they feel and how they're sleeping and their spiritual connection to food. And I think that one of the biggest mistakes, or actually, you know, one of the things that we haven't taught people is the beneficial effects of preparing your own food, having your own garden, being able to get to plant the seeds, watch your plants grow, go out to your garden, harvest those vegetables, harvest those fruits. You know, we have fruit trees, nut and seed trees. We have herb gardens. We have vegetable gardens. And that is something that we've instilled in our kids. And that's something that is lost, but I see that coming back every single day. We're getting questions, especially now. We are going to have major food issues here coming down. There's been 10 food processing plants that have burned to the ground over the last month or so. We have massive, you know, the governments are paying farms to shut down. You know, we are seeing, and we will see over the next couple of years, massive amounts of food shortages. And now there's no better time for you to learn how to grow your own food, learn how to sprout. I mean, you can have sprouts within 24 hours, learn how to forage. I mean, most people have everything they need to survive within a 1 mile radius of themselves. They just don't know it. They don't know how to survive off the land. They don't know how to forage their own food. And, that to me should be one of the things that's taught in schools from an early age. Of course, they don't want you to learn that because they want to sell you the food. They want to serve you processed food in schools.
And let's face it, we don't make any money off of healthy people in America.
No, there's no money off of healthy people. So that's all of that knowledge has been suppressed. However, you know, with the good thing about social media, the good thing about YouTube, the good thing about, you know, these channels, even though we've been heavily censored, you know, we can barely say anything anymore on any of these channels without being censored and taken down. That's a threat to Big Pharma or a threat to the agricultural industry or anything like that. But people are, you know, people like us that are out there every single day. I can remember getting eggs thrown at me speaking on Capitol Hill for March Against Monsanto, you know, against the GMOs and speaking against the torture of animals and meat. Is like, I feel we've come a long way just in the last 20 years. I feel like more and more people are starting to realize that I'm not feeling good when I eat meat, and I'm not feeling good when I eat cooked foods and processed foods and synthetic foods. They're trying, you know, you're seeing all these synthetic meats coming out right now, yeah. And they're starting to grow these genetically modified meats. You know, this is just sick. It's becoming man-made scientific instead of going back to God-made and nature-based foods that are living, that are alive, that you can connect with. You know, one of the best therapies back in the 20s and 30s and 40s for people that were suffering from depression and anxiety and any type of mental illness was cooking. They would literally have them go to the grocery store and get a bunch of fresh foods. It wasn't meat. It was go get vegetables, lettuces, fruits, live living foods, go to a local garden, meet your local farmers, go walk the land, ground, you know, pick your own fruits and vegetables and come back and prepare your own meals. And preparing your own meals, you're actually putting the love and you're feeling the energy of the plants and you're putting that into your food. You know, it's like I said, it comes back to positive energy versus negative energy. And when you're preparing your own foods and you have those live plant-based foods, that is providing your body, your cells, your mind, your soul with vibrations, high energy versus preparing dead, slaughtered animal flesh that is, you know, already been killed by somebody else, but you're also taking in all those negative emotional patterns and all those negative frequencies and vibrations and lowering your body's own vibrational frequencies. So, the good news is, you know, we have been seeing, I mean, yeah, I've been seeing a real positive shift especially over the last 5 years. I mean, with people wanting to grow their own gardens, with people wanting to grow their own food. And, you know, the people that aren't learning that, you know, it's going to be pretty unfortunate for them. And then, especially in the next couple of years is the trend that we're seeing.
Thank you so much for that. You know, I have a small home in Long Island, New York, and I grew up in New York City. I know really not that much about gardening. And next weekend, I'm going up to New York with my cousin owns a farm in Michigan, and we're going to do our spring planting. Last year, I had about 300 organic figs that were amazing, but we're going to plant everything this year, and I'm going to try my own hand at gardening. So I'm super excited about that. My book Yoga Lean has over 35 recipes in there, and they are all vegetarian, most of which are vegan, but not all of them. Jane, tell us, I know you've written several books. What are you working on now?
I'm working on our global streaming network, Unchained TV. We just passed the millionth view, and it's a full-time operation, which I'm doing through our nonprofit. Usually major networks spend literally billions of dollars and have hundreds of people creating a network. And I created it with a handful of volunteers. So I literally wake up at 7 a.m. and I work till almost 1 a.m. trying to keep up with everything because we have to add new content. And I'm very excited that you're going to send us some of your yoga videos. That's wonderful. And maybe Dr. Group has some videos that address, I mean, everything he said resonated with me. So that's a full-time job is accumulating the videos. And then also we're doing some original content. We just finished our first reality. It's the world's first reality show starring a family of pigs. And it's called Pig Little Lies. And here's how it happened. I was looking at the stats for what videos were rating. And the truth is, while some people were looking at the serious documentaries, people want to be entertained and you got to accept life on life's terms. So I called my friend Simone Reyes, who has been on a reality show. And I said, Simone, we need to do a reality show. And she said, look, I can't talk right now. Okay, I'm trying to rescue this mama pig and papa pig. They're in a kill shelter. They're going to be killed tonight. We got to get them out. I said, well, that's our reality show. So we got them out, and you'll have to watch to see what happens. But let's put it this way. Two pigs turn into 13 pigs or 14 pigs very quickly, if you know what I mean. And so it's very, very cute and fun, but there's a very important message, and we're not lecturing with this. We're just letting people connect the dots themselves. If you find these animals adorable, if you relate to their story, why on earth are you buying their sliced up body parts? So we're doing that kind of a programming along with showing the serious documentaries and the vegan cooking shows.
That sounds awesome. We're going to open up the phone lines now. If anyone has a question for Jane Velez Mitchell or Dr. Edward Group, you can call us toll free at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Call in with any questions about veganism or anything else related to this show. I'd like to segue a little bit now, Jane, and just talk about animals. When you were talking about the pigs, I thought, well, that would be like me eating my dog. You and I met through the animal advocacy and rescue world, and I'm a big proponent of spay and neuter, as well as adopt, don't shop. I know in Los Angeles, about 10 years ago, we got all the puppy stores shut down so that people would stop buying dogs, because for me, part of compassionate living is not spending money on dogs or cats for that matter, when there's so many that are in the shelters. So let's talk a little bit about animals and animal rights, and not just related to eating animals, but where we're at with that right now in our society. Because I think with all the most recent distractions of the past 2 years, people may have forgotten. I know a lot of people adopted dogs during the pandemic. I don't know if they've returned those dogs to the shelter now or what's happening.
Well, if you want to talk about animals, the reason why we talk about farmed animals is that of the land animals who are killed in the world, they are the largest number. And in fact, chickens, of the 80 billion land animals, farmed animals who are killed every year, and notice I said who, 68 billion of them are chickens. So actually, I just had a meeting today about doing another reality series on a chicken. Who lives with a certain family and who pretty much rules the roost. And I think that's going to be very fun. And again, have a subtle message. But of course, we also fight for dogs and cats. I have two rescue dogs and a rescue cat. And we have to reduce the number of animals out there. You know, I was thinking the other day, it's ridiculous we don't have a birth control pill for dogs. I'm sure, and I've heard stories that they've developed a two-pill birth control for dogs, but they're waiting to monetize it. Meanwhile, hundreds of millions of dogs die of starvation. Look at the animals in the Ukraine right now. Oh my God, it's the stuff of nightmares. So spay and neuter is the most important thing. You know, for every dog you rescue, if you spay a dog, you can save countless more lives. So I urge everyone not only to spay and neuter their dogs and chip their dogs and cats, but also to donate for spay neuter. But that being said, the vast majority of the money that is donated to animal welfare is going to dogs and cats, whereas the vast number of animals who are killed are cows, pigs, chickens, turkeys, goats, and lambs, particularly chickens. So I would say people are very aware and connected to their dogs, but they haven't made the connection that pigs are smarter than dogs. And you could be arrested for doing to your dog what is routinely done to billions of pigs. So as much as I'd like to forget about all these other animals, that's a big problem, because we keep passing laws to protect dogs and cats. And that's fine, but we're leaving most animals out of the equation. And you know, the essence of all oppression is that some suffering doesn't count. And you can put in your own oppression, you know, fill the blank. We could go back through history. The essence of all evil is that some suffering doesn't count. So we can't just put them out of our minds. Those who love dogs and cats really need to open their hearts, but often it's a real struggle. And you know, we just got a new sponsor, our first corporate sponsor, Wilder.
Oh, Jane, we have a caller. Claire from New Hampshire has a question for someone.
Hi there.
Hi, Claire. Hi.
Yes. Hi there. Yes. My name is Bernadette. And my question is, first of all, very good show. I really enjoy the content. I was vegan. I'm kind of still plant-based. I eat a little bit of meat, but clean meat. But my question is for Dr. Group. I'm a huge fan of Global Healing. I've used the brand for years. I first discovered Oxy Powder. Absolutely love it. Love the iodine. Feel a big difference with that and the B12. I'm in my 40s. During the pandemic, instead of gaining weight, I've lost 28 pounds, and I'm really working on my fitness and my toning. And I wanted to ask about the supplements because I'm looking for some input. I'm looking to take my body fat down. I'm 140 pounds, 5'8", but my body fat is still high at 42. I've never done the liver cleanse, other stuff. I'm just wondering, and I have a tremendous sweet tooth. So I'm wondering, is there something of your brand you'd recommend to help me maybe with weight loss as I'm focusing in that genre?
well, you know, first of all, there was a guy in the late 1800s and early 1900s. His name was Arnold Arendt, and he wrote a book called The Mucusless Diet. And he was really big into not eating meat and veganism and more or less fruitarianism. One of the things that really stood out for me when looking at his research was he said that the human eats 10 times the amount of food that we really need to eat. So the first thing I would suggest is to cut down on the amount of food that you eat. The reason why is, and this is also has a lot to do with meat, is our digestive system, our bodies produce enough energy to really break down one, maybe two meals a day. That's the way our body works, right? So our body produces ATP and it produces energy. Did you know that 98% of the energy that's produced in our body goes to digestion? Your digestive tract is 30 feet in length. You have about 25 feet, let's say, of small intestine, 10 feet of large intestine. So can you imagine the if someone is eating 3, 4, 5 cooked meals a day, eating meat, and not only that, they're eating probably 5 or 6 times the amount that they should be eating. The amount of energy, this is why people get sick, because they cannot produce enough energy to send to the digestive system to be able to break down all of the food that people are consuming. And that's why he said that really one meal a day would be sufficient, or maybe two meals a day, but not a lot in, you know, quantity. So people ask me, you know, what can I do for weight loss? Well, the liver is really, when the liver becomes congested, it's extremely hard for you to process fats. I would say probably 99% of the population on the earth right now, their liver is only functioning at 15% because of their dietary intake of toxic meats and toxic compounds. So what we've noticed is, and I actually wrote a book called The 10 Super Secrets to Weight Loss years ago, and the number one secret was to do a liver cleanse. And I like Holda Clark's cleanse, and we modeled our liver cleanse off of that because it purges the liver, and then the liver can start breaking down fats. It purges the gallbladder. So starting with an intestinal cleanse, obviously, some people have up to 10, 15 pounds of hard compacted fecal matter that are still in their intestines that need to be broken down and liquefied and broken out of the system. And that's why we use Oxy Powder for that, which is actually Nikola Tesla's invention. It wasn't my invention, it was Tesla's. When we were working with the Tesla research team in the early 2000s, we got the whole story and the recipe and everything for that. And that was what he considered his greatest invention, actually, because Tesla's understudy was a guy named Arthur Matthews, and Arthur Matthews' understudy was a guy named George Freibot. And so when Tesla saw into the future, he said the biggest, basically, by the way, Tesla and Einstein both became vegetarians and stopped eating meat. And because they said everything in life is based on energy and vibration. And they realized that meat lowered your vibrational state to a point that it would induce disease into your body and in a diseased environment. So cleansing the body, detoxing the body is what I would recommend would be the best way to start your weight loss journey.
Bernadette, I hope that answers your question. Thank you so much for calling in. Unfortunately, we are at the end of our show. We probably need another couple of hours with these wonderful guests. Dr. Edward Group, Jane Velez Mitchell, thank you so much for being here. We're going to post all of your links on the chat for the show in our show notes. Thanks to our sponsors, Global Healing and Yoga Fit. Have a beautiful day, everyone. Next week, we're on with anti-aging and longevity with Dr. Nick Perricone. Make America healthy, everyone. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us on Make America Healthy. We hope we've given you some tools you need to take back control of your health. Until next time, we wish you a healthy and wonderful week.